Good morning. Welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am your host today, Crystal Disty. And of course, it is the last Friday of the month, which means I have the pleasure of interviewing someone very special to me, my husband, Dave Disty, with Heart to Heart.
Hey, Crystal, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple hours.
Yeah.
I think we make that joke pretty much every time.
Yeah, it's a great one.
The other thing that I notice is when I'm doing All You Ever Wanted to Know, I always have to like really catch myself and think twice and say, good morning, because usually I'm the afternoon girl. Mm-hmm. So. So today for Heart to Heart, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about soul care. Soul Care is a conference that's put on by Rob Reamer, and so he's coming to Yorkton May 18th to 20th, and so, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what that conference is like and, why I think it's such a great opportunity for us.
Right, and so you and I both have experience with Soul Care and Rob Reamer and his material, so where would you like to start?
I guess... There's a few different places. I was thinking about where I want to start, and there's a lot of places I want to start. I've been reading something that's not by Rob Reamer, so maybe we'll start there.
Okay.
I've been reading through this book called Soul Revolution by John Burke. And one thing that stands out to me is he talks about in the church that he planted, they talk a lot about no perfect people allowed is their slogan. And so in this section, he says, at our church, we say no perfect people allowed. We tell people, if you want to pretend you have no struggles, no problems, no sins, no wounds, then go play that game somewhere else, because that's not real. But if we can agree to be authentic with our struggles, doubts, and temptations, then we can actually walk together, pray for each other, and help each other grow. I love that approach that no perfect people allowed. As long as we're alive, we're dealing with junk. We're dealing with stuff in our lives. Rob Reamer has a similar phrase that it takes one day longer than a lifetime to achieve perfection. So if you're on this earth, if you're listening to this, then there's stuff in your life that you can deal with. I bring this up because some people go, you know what, I don't need to go to a conference like that. I don't need to deal with my stuff. I'm fine as I am. And it's true. You can go through life with the way that you are, and that's totally okay. But there is stuff that you can deal with to make life better as well. And I'll say right off the bat that this Soul Care Conference, out of all the things I've done in life, this Soul Care Conference has had the biggest impact on my life. Out of anything that I've ever done, gone to, heard, worked on, this had the biggest impact out of anything. So yes, I'll advertise this every chance I get.
Yeah, and that was definitely true for me as well. So.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think we'll get into a little bit about our both of our experiences about this. But, yeah, ultimately, no perfect people allowed. We're all dealing with stuff. And so let's cut the charade and, be honest about it and deal with whatever God wants to deal with in our lives, whether that be through soul care or some other avenue. But, yeah, let's be honest about it and deal with whatever comes up.
And that's a good point, too, whether it's through soul care, quote unquote, this Rob Reamer conference. Soul care is something that every Christian should be working through their entire spiritual life in order to be healthy and growing and maturing, as the Bible calls us to do.
Yeah. And Rob talks about that in his book. He's got the book Soul Care and the conference. And he talks about that this isn't a one time thing. It's not you do this Soul Care conference for 3 days and then you're done. You're good and perfect. But no, it's stuff that we need to address throughout our lives. So I imagine today or maybe next month, we'll go through some of the topics that he discusses. And he talks about identity. And so it's good to learn about our identity, but it's something that we need to make sure that we're doing daily. He talks about forgiveness. That's something that we need to do regularly because we live in a fallen world and wounds happen, and so we need to forgive regularly. So yeah, all these things, they're not just a one and done, but continue working at them. That being said, there is something that we've experienced quite powerful in going to something like the Soul Care Conference and big monumental shifts happening at something like this. So one thing that comes up for me is actually when you went to Soul Care, I was thinking of letting you tell your story first, but I'm like, I really want to talk about this piece. when Crystal went to Soul Care, I thought, you know what? It's not really something I want to invest in. I want to, because I'd have to take 3 days off work, and I'm definitely a workaholic, recovering workaholic, we'll say that. So I don't want to take time off work, and don't want to have to drive down there and get a hotel, and this is just going to be too much. I don't want to do that. And afterwards, I actually came across this passage in Luke, I'm finding it right now. I've got so many bookmarks in my Bible trying to find which is the right bookmark right now. Luke 6, verse 17 to 18. This is right after Jesus called the 12 disciples. So Luke 6, verse 17 and 18. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So they came from Judea, down in the south, up to Tyre and Sidon. And so I looked on a map and found from the southern tip of Judea up to Sidon, which is a northern city, it was 350 kilometers. And so we don't know where Jesus was at this point in time, but let's say he's smack dab in the middle. That means some people traveled 175 kilometers to meet Jesus.
Hmm.
And these are people that were seeking him for healing. Mm-hmm. So they weren't taking a car down there. They weren't flying down there. They were walking or riding a mule or donkey or something like that while lame and sick, seeking healing. I can't imagine walking 175 kilometers and I'm in relatively good shape. So if you want something, to what lengths are you willing to go?
Mm-hmm.
So taking 3 days off work, yeah, that was a sacrifice. Not nearly as much as walking 175 kilometers. But if you want something, what are you willing to do for it? Are you willing to go and meet Jesus in a place that's not convenient?
Mm.
Imagine some people in Tyre, they would have gone, you know what? I'll wait till Jesus comes here. And I don't know that Jesus ever went to Tyre.
Mm.
And so if you wait for that convenient spot, then are you going to find that healing that you're looking for?
And even looking at that, when you're talking about healing and restoration, why would you want to wait?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we get so used to life has always been this way and it's just going to be like that forever. But it doesn't have to be like mm-hmm. that. It's kind of like saying, well, I broke my arm and that's just the way things are. My arm's broken and it's going to be broken. Well, do you want to go and get that fixed or do you want to just go on with a broken arm for the rest of your life?
Mm.
I think I prefer the first option. That's the one I'm going for.
An itchy cast is better than a mal-healed broken arm.
Yeah, and the healing is a difficult process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you just go to the doctor and they wave their magic wand and poof, it's all better.
Right.
But it hurts. Like when our daughter broke her arm, she had to have surgery to get it
set.
Put back. Set, yeah. That's the word. To get it fixed. And that was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When I had cancer, I had to have a few surgeries in order to get that fixed. And it was worthwhile. I'm definitely glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really uncomfortable process. Not a fun process.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, when we're dealing with the junk in our souls, it's an uncomfortable process, but there's so much great stuff that can come as a result of doing that hard, uncomfortable work.
And as you're saying that, I'm also, my kids were just watching Voyage of the Dawn Treader the other day, one of the mm-hmm. Chronicles of Narnia, and it reminds me of the scene where Eustace is a dragon,
mm-hmm.
and in order to shed that dragon skin, he can't do it on his own, and Aslan takes his claws and digs through everything, and there's nothing mm-hmm. that Eustace can do to do it himself, and he has to tear through layers that we've built up around ourselves and wounds mm-hmm. and barriers and shields that we've placed around our lives. And God has to break those down and tear them out. And sometimes they're grown in and
mm-hmm.
it's major excavation.
Yeah. And sometimes we fight God mm-hmm. on tearing those things out because it's uncomfortable. It's something that we've held onto for so long. And there's a wonderful quote in that section of Voyage of the Dawn Treader in the book. I forget it exactly, but Eustace describes it as painful and freeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix of both. It's the pain of going through this, through the wounds and dealing with the wounds and freeing to come out the other side as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of difficulty and a lot of beauty in it, a mix of both. So yeah, so to recognize that we have our struggles and that there is an opportunity for something different
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful thing. And what are we willing to sacrifice for it? Sacrifice 3 days, and it is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 3 days that you go and sit and listen and just be a passive recipient of all this stuff. It's 3 days of difficult work and soul searching
mm-hmm.
and a vulnerability too. One part of the Soul Care Conference is that you deal with the material in triads, so groups of three. So you talk with two other people frequently through this. So Rob will teach for a little bit, and then you break off and talk about the material with your partners. And that's a hard thing. That's a really difficult thing, especially with me. I've one of the things that's has really been dealt with in me, or is being dealt with in me, is secrecy. It's been a large part of my life that I want to other people to see me in a certain way. And so I'll keep secrets in order to make sure that other people see me in a good light. And so to be open and vulnerable to others is really hard. But that's really important. That's a vital key step in getting rid of shame. So if you were dealing with shame, openness and vulnerability is one of the most important keys to dealing with that.
And it's also one of the hardest.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Secrecy breeds shame and vulnerability breaks it. And so, yeah, being open is super important. So I'm going to go back to this John Burke book again, The Soul Revolution. And another part that he says is, God does something mysteriously powerful and healing as we simply get honest together in the light of his community. There's a mysterious healing in getting honest together. And he says later on, healing almost always comes through community. It's God's plan. Spirituality is relational. And it's beautiful that we worship and serve a relational God. And he calls us to relationship with each other as well. So love your neighbor as yourself. That is in relations, not just loving each other from a distance and saying, yeah, okay, I don't have any hatred towards that person over there, but I'm never going to talk with them again. Loving our neighbor often includes being vulnerable with each other. And there's amazing healing that happens in there. I guess it goes along with the verse, as iron sharpens iron. I don't know where that one is, but it's in there too.
It's a good one.
So, yeah, there's some important pieces in being open with each other. That's super important in dealing with shame. And, yeah, being willing to do whatever it takes to get that healing that you're looking for. Rob Reamer, he says, if there's something that you want, get after it. Go after it with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so, yeah, if you're looking for a deeper relationship with God, get after it with everything you got. If you're looking for healing for something in your life, get after it with everything you got. It's worth it.
Yeah. And again, like you said, you know, we get used to being these walking wounded and we think that that's just the way life is. And even, I mean, sometimes especially as Christians, we think, well, that's because we're on this side of heaven. And so it's always been a struggle for us to balance with that already and not yet. There is healing and there is growth that can happen. Are we going to achieve perfection? No. But does it mean that we quit striving? No. And again, you know, it's Paul talks about this again and again. And and
yeah, the things that he wanted to change in his life, but it's like, I keep on doing the things I don't want to do. I don't know why this is. And the thorn is flesh, that this thing just isn't being fixed or healed, but still striving after God and for the healing that God has next. And I think a part of it is, too, what's coming to mind for me now is that we want healing in our lives in the areas that we want, but we're also not as smart as God. So God knows what parts of us is best to heal next. I think of it like maybe with teaching children something. They might want to know this one thing that they're really interested in, but as adults or as a teacher, you might know, hey, in order for this kid to learn this thing that they're really interested in, there's other building blocks that are important for them. So I'm going to teach them this other step. I'm not a teacher, so I'm not sure what example to use here. But yeah, there's building blocks to address. I guess it's might be similar in like a medical area. If someone's like, you know what, I want to get this thing in my life dealt with, the doctor might say, you know what, dealing with your nutrition would be an important part. But no, doc, I don't want to deal with that. I want this other area of my life fixed. Yeah, and nutrition will help you get there.
Yeah.
So trusting the great physician in that he knows what aspect of healing is really important for you next.
And it's interesting, too. You know, I'm studying at seminary for my master's in marriage and family therapy as well. And right now I'm doing child development and just talking about like this idea of vulnerability. And it's something that we all have the potential for. But at the same time, our brains and our bodies are also very self-protective. And so some of that has to be broken through as well. And there are different wounds and things that we, you know, there's a reason why we don't deal with them at a certain time, because we don't have the tools. We're not ready. We're not at that point. The potential is within us, but we still have to grow and mature in order to achieve those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like with when children are dealing with trauma in their lives, they deal with it to a certain degree at that stage, an age in life. And then when that child grows into a teenager, they deal with it again at the teenager's level. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in their 20s, they deal with it again at the young adult's level. And as we get to different stages in life, we deal with our issues at that new level that's available to us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whatever age you are, whatever level you're at, there's another aspect of growth and healing that's open to you.
And that's something, again, that Rob talks about at the conferences, too. And that's where it goes hand in hand with the it's not a once and done thing. Mm. And I think this is a big thing with forgiveness, too. We think, OK, well, if I forgive this person, then that's it. I don't have to do it ever again. Mm-hmm. But he talks about the weight of the offense. And mm-hmm. so if it's a 5-gallon offense and we pour 3 cups of forgiveness on it, it's not complete, right? Mm-hmm. There are layers. There's a fullness of things that have to be forgiven and worked through and processed in order to. And it's not that we haven't forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that new things are revealed, new things are uncovered, yeah. new wounds may be issued. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. Forgiveness and healing and dealing with our identity, all these things are ongoing processes for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back. Welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am your host today, Crystal Disty, and it is the last Friday of the month, which means we have David Disty here in studio with Heart to Heart. So today we are talking about soul care, specifically a soul care conference that's coming to the Yorkton Alliance Church. Can you give us the dates and details and everything of that one more time?
Yeah, so the Soul Care Conference is on May 18th to 20th, and it's going to be at the Yorkton Alliance Church. And you can get tickets at eventbrite.com and then search on there Soul Care, or you can go to the Yorkton Alliance website, and that's yorktonalliance.org. And then there's a link there for Soul Care, so you can follow that link to Eventbrite and get your tickets there. Right now, the tickets are $100 each, and that's for all 3 days. But then in a couple of days, sometime, we're just talking off air, we're not sure when exactly, if it's tomorrow or the 9th or somewhere between now and then, the ticket price does go up to $130. So if you get your tickets today, it's $100, and then sometime later, the price is going to increase.
Sometime in the next week.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, go to eventbrite.com or yorktonalliance.org and get your tickets soon and save that $30 each.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're going to talk about some of the reasons why we think that this is definitely something that is worthwhile. We talked about how meeting with God and getting healing is something that requires and is worthy of effort and mm-hmm. sacrifice. So where would you like to go next with that?
Well, yeah, I was thinking it might be good to tell our stories. And so you went to Soul Care before I did because I dug in my heels and was stubborn about it. So if you want to go first and tell your story.
Sure. All right. So, yeah, I was just trying to do the math, and it's been either 3 or 4 years now since I went. I will talk about how I know exactly when it was, and I can do the math a little bit later. But like Dave said, you know, this opportunity came, and I was like, I was at a point where I was really dealing with a lot of my own stuff in counseling and just with personal development and some spiritual direction and things like that. And I just really felt that God wanted me to go here. And that's something that isn't new for me. God directing me and me feeling strongly that God has something that is set out for me or a place that he is drawing me to is not uncommon for me. But not that I always listen, because we're human and we don't. But in this case, I decided that, yes, I was going to do this. I was going to make it work. A friend of mine went halves on a hotel room, and we carpooled down, and I went. And through the week, all of the internal work that we were doing was so powerful and amazing. And anyone who knows me or has maybe been listening to me for a while knows that I've had a pretty rocky past. I had a really rough time, especially in my teen years. And so there was a lot of wounding there, and there's a lot of issues. And no matter how well-intentioned our parents are, there are things that happen in our family of origins that cause junk to get dropped on our soul. And so these were some of the things that we were working through throughout the course of the weekend. And if that was the only thing that happened, it absolutely would have been worth it. Because the amount of freedom that I got spiritually and internally is, like Dave said, there is nothing that I can point to in my life before or since that has accomplished that much change and freedom in my life. And so on the very last day, after all of the internal work and the dealing with wounds and generational sin and dealing with deliverance, which is something that we'll end up talking about probably next month, I was then able to take part in the final session, which was a filling of the Holy Spirit. And again, I have a pretty wide church background, so, you know, dealing with the Holy Spirit and how he can act in ways that we don't always understand and can make us uncomfortable, that's nothing new to me, and that's totally fine, and I could deal with that. But then God decided to do something that I was not ready for. And I couldn't have said that I really, truly in my soul believed was possible until he did it. And so this is where I come to the point where I can say I know exactly when this this conference happened. Because when my daughter was born, there was a little bit of a medical incident, and I ended up with a migraine. And it was a spinal migraine, and it was something that was completely incurable, and I had tried everything to manage the pain, and I had this migraine for 3.5 years, and it was every day, the longest I ever went between spikes and, like, crescendos of my pain was between 8 and 16 hours. And so every day, and I had newborn and an 18-month-old and a 6-year-old. And so life doesn't slow down when you have kids like that. And so I was parenting in that condition for the first 3.5 years of my daughter's life. But on that day, after me trying absolutely everything medically and even alternatively possible to try and cure these migraines, God healed me in a moment. And so not only did I leave that conference spiritually freer and lighter, but I came home physically more whole than when I arrived. And honestly, I think I can count on one hand the amount of actual true migraines I've had since that encounter. And migraines had been a part of my life all through before that as well. Nothing like. So the day that God healed me, I had had migraines every day for 1,180 days. And then God healed me.
No migraines for how many years afterwards? I remember you said, I just had a migraine and it's been how many years?
It was at least 2 years before I had even my first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the ones that I've had since, they've only lasted about like 8 to 10 hours. They haven't been like these like 3 and 4 day migraines.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, I remember when you came home, I had been thinking, you know what, this is a waste of time. Even our pastor at the time, he had said, I guarantee this conference is worth it. And if you go to the conference and think it wasn't worth it, I'll give you a refund of $100 out of my own pocket. And I thought, I'm not going to go to a conference and tell the pastor, you owe me $100 for this conference. Not going to do that to him. But yeah, I thought, this isn't worth it. Why would I go? And then you came home. And yeah, there's the physical healing, which knocked my socks off. But there was such a change in you, in the peace and joy that I saw in you. I was jealous. I went, oh no, what did I do? I missed out on this peace and joy that's just radiating out of you. I was really jealous. And so I was thinking, you know, I want this for myself, but I don't know when or if. Be great if he came to Yorkton, but what big speaker ever comes to Yorkton? Well, I guess there's like 4 years later. He is coming to Yorkton. Yay!
Yeah.
But yeah, then I found out probably about 6 months later, mm-hmm. he went to Winnipeg. And so I drove out to Winnipeg. And yeah, my stubbornness in saying I'm not going to go to Regina meant that 6 months later I had to go even further anyway. And so to Winnipeg I went. And yeah, to in pursuit of what I saw God doing in you, and to kind of quench my jealousy of what what you got to experience there, I went to Soul Care in Winnipeg. And when I went there, it was hard work, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of stuff in addressing. Well, Rob Remy talks about if you have a suitcase and you come home from a trip, before you go out on your next trip, you need to clean out the suitcase. You need to get rid of the dirty laundry before you can put in new clean clothes and go on your next trip. And our souls are kind of like the suitcase, that if we want something good in there, we have to clean out the junk. Mm-hmm. And you don't clean out the junk just by waving a magic wand. Mm. And well, sometimes God does do that.
Yeah.
And we may talk about some of that too. But yeah, a lot of it is getting your hands dirty in grabbing that stinky laundry and dealing with it and getting it out. And so it's hard work. Where was I going with this? yeah, so I went to Soul Care in Winnipeg, dealt with a lot of the tough things in life. And that includes being super honest about repentance, about everything that's gone on, anything that the Holy Spirit brings up in my life, to be honest about it and repent to God, but also to those community members. So I mentioned the triad. So I was in a group with one stranger I'd never met, and then a friend of mine from here in Yorkton. And so to confess everything that comes to mind to a stranger and someone who will see me again is nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. Because like I said earlier, one of my big defenses has been secrecy. You know, if I don't tell people anything, then I don't have to deal with that shame. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, getting all that dirty laundry out was a tough one. And then there's a piece, too, that talk about generational sin patterns. And so there's patterns that we go, why am I doing this? And it's like, it's the same thing that my family's done over and over again. And yeah, there's a generational pattern that goes on. And so I had a conversation with my parents about patterns that I knew of in our family and looking for patterns that I wasn't aware of as well. Mm-hmm. And so addressing that involved some tough conversations. But it was so freeing, too, to get that dirty laundry out to, well, I guess, yeah, hang my dirty laundry out on the line, mm-hmm. and get it out of the suitcase. But then, yeah, through deliverance as well, which, again, we'll get into in more detail later. So there were some patterns in my life that I wanted to change. There were some sin patterns in life that I'd been dealing with over decades. So I guess I was probably in my mid-30s back then. So, yeah, dealing with the sin patterns for 20-some-odd years and just had never really been able to get rid of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know we had talked about it, you and I, and it was stuff that was impacting our marriage. And I still was in the same pattern. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated, like, why can I not get rid of this? And then I'm not sure what exactly it was in Soul Care, but I noticed afterwards that I had no temptation, no desire to go back to that same sin pattern again. Mm-hmm. And I haven't since, so I don't know how long it is, like 5 years, 3 years, 4 years, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been, rather than a fight every day and sometimes having a little bit of victory, it's been, you know what, this thing isn't even an issue for me. Mm-hmm. And that was so freeing. To get rid of a sin pattern and the shame that goes with it. And so the freedom in our relationship, mm-hmm. from that too, is just amazing. And like I said earlier too, this isn't just a one and done, but it's continuing to work at it. Mm-hmm. And so continuing to work at who am I? How do I see myself? Continuing to work at repentance regularly, because even though this one sin pattern is an issue for me now, believe it or not, I have sinned in the last few years. And so keeping that repentance frequent, mm-hmm. and dealing with forgiveness as it comes up has been really good. And so, yeah, it's been, like I said earlier, this was the single most influential life-changing experience for me. Mm-hmm. I remember afterwards, actually, I was talking with our pastor a couple of years back. And he said, Dave, I wonder what patterns you've noticed in our church over the last while. And I told him, Ron, I can't really tell you, because life before Soul Care is totally different than life after. Mm-hmm. So the world looks different. I can't tell you if there's something different in our church, because there's been so much different in me that I know the glasses I'm looking at life through are vastly different. Mm.
So, and how much of what's going on around you is a change in your environment, and how much of it is strictly a change in your perception and your ability to see clearly.
Yeah. When I've changed so much, it's hard to tell if there's been a change around me or not, or if it's just the change in me that I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's why I say this is something that is absolutely worthwhile. It's hard. Yes, there's an investment in time and money, and absolutely it's worthwhile, 100% for everybody.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take another break real quick, and then we will come back and finish the rest of our talk today with David Disty and Heart to Heart on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Hello, welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am your host today, Crystal Disty, and it is the last Friday of the month, which means I have the pleasure of interviewing my husband, David Disty, for Heart to Heart. So today we have been talking about a soul care conference that is coming to our church, Yorkton Alliance Church, and it is coming May 18th to 20th. It's a three-day conference, and we've just been talking about a little bit about what that entails and the impact that it has had on our lives. So we're going to pick up with a little more of getting into some of the topics and things that are going to be addressed throughout the conference.
Yeah, so there's the Soul Care book and the Soul Care conference, and they're really similar. The book has seven transformational principles for a healthy soul. That's the subtitle of the book. And so we'll go through a little bit of what he talks about there, and the Soul Care conference kind of follows along that. But as I've noticed going to a couple of conferences of his now, he doesn't necessarily stick to the script. So he goes where the spirit leads.
Absolutely.
But yeah, some of the core things that he talks about, the seven core principles are your identity. Number one. Second is repentance. Three is overcoming family sin patterns. Four is forgiveness. Five is healing wounds. Six is overcoming fears. And seven is deliverance. And I think he puts them in that order for a really good reason, especially the deliverance at the end. Deliverance goes so much better when we've dealt with the other ones first. So yeah, so let's dive a little bit into identity. He talks about, it's been a while since I've read the book, so I've got it in front of me, so I've got some stuff right here. but yeah, I'm going off of my own head. But when Jesus talks about the parable of the wise and foolish builders, the foolish builder builds a house on sand, and the storm comes and washes it away. The wise builder builds his house on the rock, and the storm comes and the house stands. And so he talks about our identity is like, what is the foundation of our life built on? For identity is built on something that is, that shifts, that changes, then the storms of life can wash away our identity, our meaning, our security in life. But if it's built on our relationship with Jesus, if it's built on who we are in Christ, then that's a solid foundation that can withstand a lot of different storms. So a couple of different lies that he talks about is the performance lie, that if I can just do everything right, if I can just be perfect, then I can be good enough and I can be okay. So my identity lies in my performance. And frankly, this is the one that I first noticed in myself, that the need to be perfect and to do everything just right. But in me, it kind of ties into the second one. The second lie is the people-pleasing lie, that I can be okay if I make everybody happy with me, or maybe just a couple of important people. Sometimes the people-pleasing lie is that I need to make everybody happy with me. Sometimes it's just that I need to please one important person or just a couple of important people. So Rob actually talks about in the conference in the book that he didn't care what most people thought, but he had to make sure that his wife thought the world of him. And so that he had to please her in every way possible. So for me, I recognize, wait, the performance lie was a people-pleasing lie at the same time. I need to please others by being perfect in what I do. And that's a shaky foundation, because I found out, well, I'm 39, so I found out 38 years ago that I can't achieve perfection. It's not going to happen. And so, yeah, I can always strive for more and more perfection, but it's never going to happen. And so that's the shaky foundation. So the first two shaky foundations are the perfection lie and the people-pleasing lie. And the third one is the lie of control. It's the idea that if I can control myself or other people or the world around me, then I'll be secure.
Right.
Then I can be enough, that my identity lies in controlling things around me or in me. And I make sense of this lie of control one in relation to the perfection one too. For me, at least, if I can control myself and be perfect in everything that I do, then I'll be good enough and can please others. So that's how they all tie together in, for me, in my mind. But yeah, they might tie together different. Well, they do tie together differently for different people.
So
are you looking to control, looking to please, or looking to be perfect? And if you're looking to do any of those, then that's a shaky foundation, and the storms of life can really rock you. But if your foundation is in Christ, then that can withstand a lot. As Rob Reamer says, how does he phrase it? The value of my soul was settled at the cross. And that's a good one. The way that I phrase it for myself, though, is that my value was settled at the foundation of the world. Before I was born, God knew that he wanted to make me. He created the universe and said, you know what? It's not quite complete without David. I want to make David. He made the entire universe and said, it's not quite enough without Crystal. I choose to make Crystal. And that is our value. God chose to put us here.
And he has another saying that I absolutely love, and it's just going to take me a second to bring it back because it ran away. But the idea that, when you are facing a difficult situation or when you're doubting your identity, you can look to yourself and say, what would a dearly loved child of God do in this situation? And then do that, because that's exactly who you are.
That rocked me. Yeah, and I remember that. And I remember also taking it, how would I respond to this person if I saw them as a dearly loved child of God too?
Yes.
Because yeah, for me, like with that lie of control, sometimes I want to control how other people act. But how would I treat them if I knew deep down in my heart that that person is a dearly loved child of God? I sure wouldn't need to control them because I don't control dearly loved children of God. That's powerful. So what foundation is their life built on? Where is our identity found? And sometimes we know in our thinking brain that, yes, this is where my identity is, but then we live out something different. And so we can be kind of on both foundations at the same time. And so to get down to the root of why am I on this foundation and changing that is really good. I remember actually after the Soul Care Conference, I've done this a couple of times now that it comes to mind. I wrote down a bunch of different verses that really impacted me on sticky notes and put them on the bathroom mirror. And every time I was in the bathroom reading those and going through them, not just reading them, but knowing them, reading them and telling myself, yes, this is the truth. And then, the bathroom mirror gets foggy. And so sticky notes fall off. And whenever they fell off, I was like, okay, I guess I'm probably done with that one. I'll focus on the ones that are left. And so, yeah, that can be really helpful to go over these truths again and again and again. So the second principle is of repentance. And as I'm looking at the book right now, I'm noticing, oh, yeah, we've used this book together. Some of these notes are mine. Some of these notes are yours. But, yeah, this one looks like something that you underlined. No one changes unless they come to a point where they are ready to repent. No one changes unless they come to a point where they're ready to repent.
And this comes back to the authenticity and the honesty that we talked about at the beginning of the show, that, you know, you have to be vulnerable and open and honest with God, with yourself, and with others. And that's something that Rob really stresses hard, is that especially in our Western Christianity, we have this idea of independent spirituality and independent internal Christian life. And that's not enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I read in that John Burke book, Soul Revolution, we need to be in healing together as a community. We're not independent. So, the repentance is together with God and with others. Absolutely. Another quote here. Our well-being, according to Jesus, depends on our repentance. It is essential to the healing of the soul. It's essential. We can't move forward without repentance. And he talks about repentance is about changing your mind and purpose. So changing, not just repenting, saying, I'm sorry for the thing that I did, but changing our mind about our pursuit of that thing right. that we now know is wrong as well, and our purpose in how do we act and bring ourselves into alignment with God.
Yeah, because often another thing that I've been taught about repentance is that it is turning the exact opposite direction of that thing mm-hmm. and going in the other direction, being intentional and not just, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm just going to kind of like shove this off to the side, mm-hmm. but turn around and basically just flee from it towards something that God has for you that is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just about saying no to something. I like what you said there, but run towards what God has for you, mm-hmm. that there is something... way better. I guess we can go back to the first sin, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve eating that fruit. I've come to understand this as Adam and Eve were moral infants, that they had just, we don't know how long they'd been around before the fall, but they were learning the difference between good and evil, and they could choose to learn from God or to learn it on their own, in their own way. And they chose to go their way rather than going towards what God had for them instead. Mm-hmm. And so often that's what we do too. We move towards what we want rather than the better thing that God has for us. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty short-sighted creatures.
Mm.
Yeah. So repentance is key. Dealing with the shame is really important. And yeah, it's one of the great, I guess one of the top seven principles in having a healthy soul.
Yeah. So I think that's a good place to leave off for today. Again, we've only scratched the surface of what is available and what you have an opportunity to experience if you attend the Soul Care Conference that's coming up May 18th to 20th at the Yorkton Alliance Church. Again, you can get tickets on Eventbrite, mm-hmm. either through the Eventbrite page and searching Soul Care Yorkton, or going to the Yorkton Alliance webpage and following the QR link there. And yep. the Yorkton Alliance website is yorktonalliance.org.
Yeah, absolutely. And so ticket prices are right now $100, but in the next coming days, they'll be going up to $130. So get them soon and get that early bird price.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us today. Thank you to our listeners. And thank you, of course, to Dave for coming in and sharing in this session of Heart to Heart. And as always, I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and stay safe.